Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Becky Wittes, chairman of the Niagara County Legislature. Thank you for joining us live on LCTV for our daily Niagara County COVID-19 update. We are also live streaming currently on lctv.net as well as 90.9 FM and hopefully Facebook Live on the Niagara County Facebook page as well. We certainly thank LCTV for this partnership. It's been a wonderful way to get the information out to our residents. If you missed the live broadcast, they will replay the show several times later today as their schedule allows. And the link will also be available on their on-demand section on lctv.net under the Niagara County Legislature page. So you can watch for it there. We, of course, will also post the taping after the fact on our Niagara County Facebook page as well for everyone to watch. We've also invited all of our local media outlets, local TV stations, to join us live for the broadcast or use any clips that they would like to use for their updates later in the day. So thank you to everyone. We know that we've had a few technical glitches along the way. Some of our streaming wasn't working correctly. So we appreciate your patience as we've worked through those issues, and hopefully they're all working well now. I'm joined today by Acting Sheriff Michael Filicetti, who's going to answer some questions for us about his team and his jail and how everything's running over there. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the governor's live update today. If you were watching, you're probably as concerned as I am. I immediately started receiving phone calls from my colleagues and residents. The governor mentioned that he's going to sign an executive order that would require upstate areas such as ours to send unused ventilators down to the downstate area because they have an immediate need for those ventilators as their numbers are so high and they're seeing those surges and peaks that we know are coming for us in the future. Very concerning to me. I implore the governor on behalf of this legislature and our residents to really come up with a plan to roll that out. We understand right now that there are residents downstate in need and those lives are valuable. We understand if we have ventilators that are not currently being used, that can be utilized to save a life, that we certainly want to help do that. However, we've also heard the governor say day in and day out that it's impossible to tell exactly when that surge or peak is going to happen in your community. He has models that he uses and still doesn't know that exact time it will hit, just as we don't here. So, Governor, there was a question asked today. What happens 2-3 days from now, a week from now, if we need those ventilators back? If we're starting to see those surges and those peaks and we have our own residents in distress and need that need those ventilators? And you didn't really answer the question for us. And again, we need to see that plan. We can't buy new ventilators if you decide to give us money instead of our own ventilators back. That's why you're wanting to use ours, is because you can't buy them yourself. Again, we value the residents of downstate New York just as much as we do ours, but we can't put ours in jeopardy. And no amount of money you can give us for a ventilator you've borrowed is going to bring back a life that's lost here in Western New York. So while we understand the idea of utilizing services and equipment in areas that are being the hardest hit, we need to hear the plan of how you are going to ensure us that we will have that equipment back when we have the need ourselves and our residents are going through that crisis before you take a single ventilator. Please let us know what that plan is and how you expect to handle that situation before you take away the services and the equipment that we need here in the coming days as well. With that, I will give you our daily updates for our positive cases here in Niagara County, growing again as we expected them to, of course. Today, we are reporting 12 new positive cases. So that's a total of 103 positive COVID cases in Niagara County to date. 87 of those positive individuals are in isolation, 72 isolating at home, 15 in hospitals in isolation, with the good news being that that means 16 people have recovered and are home doing well. And we're very happy, of course, for those individuals. That is good news. We currently have 100 people in quarantine. These are folks who had some form of direct contact that need to be quarantined now, not showing symptoms, but staying home and keeping themselves under quarantine for the safety of others, with 106 who have completed that process and are out of quarantine. Again, that is wonderful news to hear that that works the way it should and those people are doing well and they're healthy. Our Niagara County heat map has been updated to show the new cases. Again, that breaks the cases down by municipality so you can see where they are. And certainly as expected, we're seeing the larger numbers in our heavily populated, densely populated areas in the city of Niagara Falls, close by in Wheatfield, NT, of course. The Lakeshore communities not having as high of numbers, but again, we certainly remind you that that doesn't mean that the virus is not in your community. We know that it is. If we were doing the number of testing that we wanted to be doing, we would see these numbers even higher. So again, we remind you to please stay home and act as if it's everywhere, because it is. We've said that again and again. We know there are many more cases. You probably have friends or family who have told you that they have symptoms, they've been ill, they've talked to their doctor, they believe that they do probably have COVID-19, but they've been told just to go home and isolate themselves and stay away, and they haven't actually been tested. So of course, those numbers aren't going to count in the totals that we give you, which means we don't get an accurate reflection of how many positive cases there truly are in Niagara County. Again, we say to you, make sure that you're doing your part following those guidelines of the physical distancing, staying home as much as possible. Certainly, the COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way we operate in the sheriff's office here in Niagara County, as it does everywhere. Joined by acting sheriff Michael Filicetti, who's here with us today. We know certainly public safety is an essential service. It's something that has to keep going on no matter what's happening out and about in the community. But let's start right with the critical point. What, if anything, has changed if I call the sheriff's department today with some sort of an issue?
Sure. We've changed our response a little bit. I want to assure everybody we're fully staffed on the road patrol, in the jail, and in the 911 center. So there's no issue with public safety in this county. But when you call, the only difference would be is if you called with a low priority call, like somebody scratched my car last night, or I was a victim of a fraud, or things like that, we would probably have a deputy call you and handle that by a phone call. So what we're trying to do is limit our exposure for our deputies and our personnel out on the road. Other than that, priority calls, emergency calls, we are still handling them as we always have. So again, fully staffed, and we're out there to keep the public safe.
Wonderful. I think about all the things that you do to promote safety in the community, things like the car seat checks. Are those activities being postponed and rescheduled at this point?
So some of our, they're deemed non-essential, and I've said this before, everybody's essential to me that works for me, but some of them are deemed non-essential because of exposure risk. So the car seat checks that we do, our victims assistance unit is working on call and is needed. If there's victims still that need assistance, we will do that. Our record staff is working remotely. So some of our support staff has basically been deemed non-essential. Our forensic lab, they're still coming in periodically, and they are working remotely.
Okay. And so how about the road patrols? Has anything changed there? Do they have the PPE that they need to do their functions? What's changing in their world?
So we've been doing a lot of planning. And when I say planning, with our partners, emergency management, John Schultz, Dan Stapleton from Public Health, they've been fantastic partners, and I always try to give them the kudos they deserve because they've been helping us out a lot. So what we did on the road patrol was made sure that we had all the PPE that is required. So they have hand sanitizer in the cars, antiseptic wipes, spray. They all have the N95 masks issued to them, and we have extras in case they use those. They have the goggles. So they're equipped should they need the PPE. They have gloves as well.
Okay, good. And you mentioned Dan Stapleton from Public Health yourself, as well as working with Jonathan Schultz. And I, you know, same as you, I can't say enough about the team that we have in Niagara County and the wonderful communication that we've been able to put in place and how everyone is working together. Along those lines, Dan Stapleton, Public Health Director, I'm sure you talk to him daily, as you said. And what are you having as far as conversations or doing about keeping everyone in the jail building themselves safe?
So obviously that's a big concern for us at the Sheriff's Office is if COVID gets in the jail, that's going to be bad for us. So one of the first people we reached out to was Dan Stapleton and said, okay, this is here. We need some protocols. We need some help making sure that we're doing the right thing. So one of the first things we did was up our cleaning schedule. Obviously, if we keep the facility more clean, using hospital grade cleaners, things like that, cleaning a lot more than we normally do, that's the first step in trying to keep things out. Every inmate that comes through the door through inmate processing is screened. They go through a series of questions. They check their temperature, and then they're given an isolation mask, and they are taken and held for roughly a minimum of 7 days, could be longer, even if they're not symptomatic, just as a precaution. We keep them in a solitary unit, I shouldn't say solitary unit, over in our special housing unit, where they're kept just as an assurance that if they do have something, we can keep it there rather than letting it spread throughout the jail facility. Next, we talked to Mr. Stapleton about checking our employees because we want to make sure our staff is staying healthy. So what we did was screenings on all of our employees every day, whether it's the 911 center, the jail, the road patrol, they are getting screened and getting their temperatures checked. And if we do get a temperature or something that triggers a box where we would be concerned, we contact the health department, refer them to their doctor, and take the necessary steps. So the big thing for us is trying to keep the inmate population healthy, but I'm also very concerned about keeping our staff healthy so that they can come in and answer those phone calls, work the road patrol, and work in the jail.
Great. And now I know beginning of the year or into last year, we had some bail reform that changed probably your inmate population. Do you have lower numbers at this point because of that? And what about the ones who are there having to do a court appearances and things like that? How is that being handled?
Right. So one thing I forgot to mention was we closed all visitation down into the jail in all programs. So that was critical to keep the flow of people coming very limited into our jail. So now what we've done is we've done video arraignments. We've moved to video arraignments. And I think that's working well. The number of arrests are down right now. I think it makes sense. The businesses are closed. There's not a lot of people out, so arrests are down. But the video arraignments that we're doing are basically to limit transporting people, moving people around, and that's working very well for us in the facility. We're also allowing video visitation. We've always had that, but now it's being used a lot more for the inmates. They're using video visitation, and we are giving discounted phone calls to the inmates so they can try to keep in touch with their loved ones or family.
Great. We know that the governor has issued a series of executive orders that close down non-essential businesses. They limit the bars and restaurants to takeout only. What is your role in enforcing the state directives as far as businesses being opened?
Right. What we've told the public is, first, I ask everybody to voluntarily comply so we don't have to be contacted. Keep your six-foot distancing, no public gatherings. If you're a business that's deemed non-essential, don't open. If you're a restaurant or bar, do the drive-through takeout like you've been doing. I know it's tough on everybody in the community, but it's going to get a lot tougher if we don't abide by these regulations. So if you do see a business, we react to complaints. So if you see a business that's been deemed non-essential, let's say a bar, and they have people in there, and they're in there drinking, and it's like normal day of operation, contact us. We would come and assess that, and we do have the authority to close that business down. We'll either go through the state liquor authority, we use the state health department or local code enforcement, and we would take action. And if people do not comply, which I don't want this to happen, we could always go to penal law charges against somebody. I don't want to do that right now. With everything going on, I just want people to comply and follow the rules so we don't have to do that. But if you call 438-3393, that's our main complaint number, we will send somebody to assess that and make that determination.
Okay. And I also just received news recently through the governor's office that the governor has started what he's calling a New York State Pause Enforcement Assistance Task Force, which should help also individuals. You can go right on ny.gov. There is some information regarding what businesses should be open, what shouldn't be, what's essential, what's non-essential that you can look through if you have questions about whether something should be open or not and you want to start by doing a little bit of research yourself. You can also fill out an online form on that ny.gov website that they will then refer to this new enforcement task team who can look at the situation, determine if they believe it is something that should be investigated, and then refer that information back to our sheriff's department there if the state believes that it should be looked into and enforced. So they could do that as well. But I appreciate the fact that you're willing to, you know, take those calls and help reassure people and look into those issues as we see them come up.
I think it's very important that we react to those.
Absolutely. Communication right now is, of course, critically important, getting information out to the public. And I know that you have a very strong social media presence through the Sheriff's Department. I've been watching your sheriffs read books to the children, some wonderful thing, your plank challenge. Good job with that.
Yeah, thank you. So
can you just talk for a minute about different ways that you get information out to the public from your department?
Sure. Anything that we deem relevant to the situation right now, to COVID-19. We've been putting out on Facebook, out on our Instagram page, Twitter, and we also have a mobile app and our website. So anything that we get that we feel is relevant for the public to know, we've been putting it out. We have a little over 34,000 followers on our Facebook page, so we're getting the word out, and I think it's important for us to continue. And I think in the middle of this, you mentioned the plank challenge, the reading, introducing our new dog, Adam. Those are things that we're trying to do to just give people that are, you know, in their houses something to look at that may bring them a little bit of happiness in the middle of all this. So, but we're going to continue to provide information to the public. We think it's important, and we'll continue to, do some activities that maybe they'll find interesting and helpful with their kids, or you know, whatever we can do to make it a little better for them right now.
Great. Well, certainly on behalf of the county and the residents, we thank you each and every day, of course, for what you do for our community, your whole team out there putting themselves out on the front line to take care of all of us. We do truly appreciate that, especially at a time like this when we're just dealing with something that no one has ever had to deal with before. So I congratulate you and your entire team for the professionalism that I've seen. The willingness to go above and beyond and help out is truly heartwarming at this time. So thank you to all of them and to you as well.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad to be part of the team here in the county.
Thank you. So earlier this week, I talked a little bit about people being outdoors. It's very important. We know when you're cooped up in your house, you know, emotionally, it's good to get out, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the fresh air. And for the most part, what I've witnessed, people are still abiding by those physical distancing guidelines. You know, people taking walks are steering clear of each other on paths. They're waving hello from a distance. We want you to be able to get out. We want you to be able to enjoy those spaces, and to do so, get some exercise, but be smart about it. We take a look at our county park systems and what we need to do there. And certainly we've been getting some phone calls from people who have been witnessing groups getting together that they feel were inappropriate. You know, we've done things to try to alleviate some of that in our county parks. We want to be able to keep the trails open for walking and again for exercise, but we have closed down the basketball courts and the playground equipment. Those are off limits. We're going to secure them so they can't be used because it's just not safe. We ask you that when you're out and about, you know, especially with little children, you can tell them to stay close to you all you want. They're going to run and try to play with other kids while you're out and about. So really just needing to think about what you're doing while you're out there. You know, we're seeing some people playing things like frisbee golf. We ask you, please don't share equipment. Please keep all of those safety checks in place. This is not the time to call your four best buddies or your neighbors down the road and see if they want to go out for a round of golf. If there's a course open and you want to get out and get some sunshine and some exercise, do that with your immediate family members. You know, father and son team who's home together all day, every day, that's a perfectly appropriate use of that situation. But please keep in mind that you are supposed to be distancing yourself from others even while you're out and about trying to get that exercise. We will continue to monitor our county parks and the equipment to be sure that people are following those recommendations. We have signs up as reminders, but please continue to be smart about your outdoor activities because we don't want to have to shut those parks down. But if we find that people are not following the guidelines, we will have to do that. So please, again, just, you know, monitor your family when you're out and about and how those situations are occurring. And of course, we talk about social distancing. I've never liked that term. I know many don't like to use the term social distancing. We prefer to say physical distancing. Again, you need to keep yourself 6 feet apart, but it's important to stay connected on an emotional level, especially during a time like this when you can't get out and see your friends and family. So there's a new initiative going on in New York called Take 5 NY. This is something that many counties across the state are starting to join in. And what it is really saying that you're going to agree to take 5 minutes out of each day to connect with a family member, a friend, a loved one, a neighbor, someone who you know is probably alone and doesn't have someone to talk to. Take just 5 minutes to make a phone call, to send them a text message, to connect with them in some way safely. Check in on them and see how they're doing. Have a conversation. If you want to talk about current events and you're both comfortable with that, sometimes it helps to talk about those feelings and what you're dealing with, as life shuts down around you. Or if you're not, talk about a TV show that you watched or a book that you're reading. Just take 5 minutes to have that connection and conversation with someone. Check in with them and make sure that they're doing okay. A reminder that Census 2020 is underway. Again, we're seeing that our response rate in New York, or Niagara County, across the state is very high. We're doing a great job in Niagara County of getting everyone to respond to the census. But I would remind you again, as we're going into the weekend, to please make sure you're filling out that information. It's very important for us to have accurate population counts when we look at things like grant money or disaster relief. I know that there are a lot of churches who have started to go to online services on Sunday, community organizations that are holding group chats through social media. If you are a member of one of those, if you run one of those, we ask please that maybe if you have a chance to mention Census 2020 and remind all of your members to participate in that, we would appreciate that. I also want to take a moment to talk about the different parades and things that we hear are happening for Easter, or the teachers' parades, the firemen's parades. Those are all events that are happening in communities in a way, again, to connect people, to maybe brighten their day and bring some hope and sunshine into these times that are difficult. Again, we please ask that everyone follows the social distancing, physical distancing guidelines during those events. If you are able to watch from your front porch or your front window, that's the best. If you want to stand in your own driveway and watch those parades go by and wave, that's wonderful. But we please, again, ask, especially with the children, make sure that you're not then having groups together with the neighbors that are watching these events. That is not the intention. The intention is to have everyone watch safely from a distance from their own home. Again, those are the types of events that we want to have occurring because they can be good emotionally for people, but if they're not handled properly, they will stop happening. So please just keep that in mind. Also, crisis services at Mental Health Department in Niagara County. That number is 285-3515. Again, that is a 24/7 confidential free helpline that you can call over at Mental Health for Niagara County. They are there and willing to help you at this time. If you're struggling, if you have a friend or family member that's struggling, don't hesitate to reach out to them. 285-3515. One last point I'd like to make, it is Friday, we're going into the weekend. I want everyone to be aware that the whole team, the staff from the public health department is deployed on the weekends. All of our nurses are out on the road. They are checking in with those individuals that are in quarantine, getting a hold of the contacts for the positive cases. They are really out and about and not in the offices on the weekend. That gives them a chance to kind of, you know, take a bit of a break from the office work, get out and connect with the people that are suffering right now, of course, the ones that are sick, the ones who are monitoring their symptoms, who are under quarantine. So that heat map will not be updated until Monday. We just want to let you know that's the situation so that you're not looking for that. Please know that if we have updates to give, we will update through probably a Facebook message on our Niagara County Facebook page. We'll get that information out to the media outlets, of course, as well through press releases. So if we have new numbers to report, if there's some big event that happens in the county, certainly watch for that information. We will push it out every other way that we can. We will also be back live with you Monday at 2:00 here on LCTV to continue our partnership with them. We, of course, thank you for joining us. We ask you to please stay home, stay safe, and stay healthy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.